Okay, good morning, everybody. It is Monday, July 10th. Welcome to the Chuck Gines Podcast, documenting the human experience. Just one guy in search of the true, of the good, and the beautiful. We have a pretty good week coming up, some good topics today. We're going to talk about gay weddings, or actually we're going to talk about some of the recent Supreme Court decisions concerning, actually it was under the Freedom of Speech Clause, the website designer, but we're going to take a look at that case and also the affirmative action. But we're going to put it in light of history and taking a look at the civil rights legislation back in 1964. And we're going to take a look at that legislation from 64 and kind of look and see how this actually created a competing constitution. And today we are reaping, unfortunately, the harvest of that bad decision back in 1964, but we're going to get into that. So a little house cleaning here. If you support independent journalism, consider kicking in a couple of bucks in the Super Chat. Also, I'd like to call your attention to ChuckGines.com. I have a membership area over there. I have a free level, and then I have a paid level for the year. And there's two things to pay attention over there. One is the email subscription. I believe it's on the right-hand sidebar if you're on a laptop. What that is anytime I post something new on the website, you will be notified via your email. The other thing I have on there is a newsletter, which actually isn't a newsletter. The only thing I keep that for is to gather people's emails if and when, whenever it comes, that I lose my social media accounts. This will be a way to get in touch with you to let you know where I'm at if I've switched over to BitChute or something like that or whatever the case may be. So it's not actually a newsletter, just so you know. And of course, I don't sell your information. I don't even look at it, actually. About once or twice every other month, I download the email list so I have it. So those are ways you can keep in touch with what I'm doing. The archives of my podcasts are in the members area. I think it's $9.99 for the entire year. All right, we got 16 people here this morning already, this early Monday morning. Could I get a sound check from someone just to make sure everything is rock and rolling really well here? Let me take a fresh sip of my Instant Folgers coffee. Okay, we'll get into this. Jamon, how you doing, man? Sounds good, good, good. Everybody's good. All right. Where are we at? Let's start with where we're at today. So there was a court case here recently where, and now there's some questions as to whether it was a real situation. It doesn't really matter. We're going to take the ideas right now. So there was a web designer, or let's just say hypothetically, there's a web designer, and they are Christian or Muslim. It doesn't really matter. And a gay couple wants them to create a website promoting gay marriage or whatever the case may be. The Supreme Court ruled that you can't force them to do that. This was interesting, though. It was under the Freedom of Speech Clause of the First Amendment that it wasn't under the Freedom of Association, which is actually what I'd like to talk about here, and how the 14th Amendment really pretty much put an end to liberties, if you can think about that. It wasn't the intention of it, but that's what happened. So where we are today is everybody's got their own little rights, and everybody's walking on eggshells, worried about getting sued, micromanaging. It's just insane where we're at today. And the civil rights legislation in 1964 was never intended for that. So let me kind of just paint the scene of what happened, and also let me turn you guys on to a really good book. This is Christopher Caldwell, America. It's called The Age of Entitlement, America Since the 60s. Really, really good book. We'll be reading a few things out of there. So let's go back. And we have the Jim Crow segregated South. And contrary to popular opinion, most Americans weren't real cool what was going on down there. If you look at some of the polling data, it's like in the 80 percentile range that people did not approve of that. When you started looking at the coastals, the East Coast, the West Coast, and the northern areas or regions of the United States, they weren't as keen on it as they were in the South. Another thing is the cultural aspect that Christopher Caldwell points out in here that I can testify to for sure. The Northern, or at least where I grew up in Chicago, we were raised that Southern people were kind of slow and backwards, not really good workers, and that's what we were kind of raised. And that was kind of the attitude of people back in the 60s when we, from the Northern regions, and they didn't approve of Jim Crow and the segregation that was going on and considered those people kind of backwards. So they were thinking that the civil rights legislation, so the civil rights legislation is about a very specific thing in a very specific place, right? And this legislation morphs into the insanity that we see today, and we're going to take a look at that a little bit. Now, there were some people that were warning about this. Leo Strauss. I've read several Strauss's books, and I have his, he was an editor on a History of Political Philosophy. So let's take a look at what Leo Strauss says here. This is very, very interesting stuff here. And we're going to open it up for conversation. Get your questions, your all of that kind of stuff ready here. So he says, a liberal society stands or falls by the distinction between the political, or the state, or the government, right, and the society, or by the distinction between the public and the private, right? This is, we're going to get into the natural law and our whole entire heritage here, which has been usurped through that legislation. In the liberal society, there is necessarily a private sphere with which the state's legislation must not interfere. Kind of the concept of our republic, of being free, of having liberty. This is essential stuff. Liberal society necessarily makes possible, dig this now, I know this doesn't hit your ear right, because we've been kind of brainwashed. Liberal society necessarily makes possible, permits, and even fosters what is called by many people discrimination. The prohibition against every discrimination would mean the evolution of the private sphere. The denial of the difference between the state and society, in a word, the destruction of liberal society. And that's what we have today. So let's take a look. This is Miss Murphy. This is a little hypo. Hey, Brad, how you doing this morning? And we're going to take a look at this. And this kind of articulates the conflict and the tension between these two constitutions that we have, the original constitution and the civil rights legislation, which is actually an alternate and competing and contradictory to our real constitution. So Miss Murphy, this is a hypothetical here, a hypothetical old widow who rented out a room in her house in the northern city might wind up bearing the brunt of federal surveillance and law enforcement if she got too picky about whom she accepted as a tenant. The legislators' backers treated the question as ridiculous. Of course, a boarding house, unlike the hotels that would be covered in any civil rights legislation, was Miss Murphy's personal property with which she could do as she pleased. So what we're trying to understand here is that when this legislation was first put forth, even the people that were pushing it never intended it for private people, private businesses, unless they were in the public sphere. For example, hotels, movie theaters, public bathrooms, restaurants, things like that. And I don't even agree with that, because if they're private businesses, they're private businesses. And that is the quintessential cornerstone of Western society, which is property rights. So let's see here. Here we go. Because I think this articulates the issue here. But the distinction was not so obvious, as pro-civil rights legislators claimed that the certitudes that rested on it proved complacent. In his opening remarks at the 1963 March on Washington, Philip Randolph, organizer of the Brotherhood of Sleeping Car Porters and of the march itself, warned that, now we're going to unpack this a lot, there's a lot here, Real freedom will require many changes in the nation's political and social philosophies and institutions. For one thing, we must destroy the notion that Miss Murphy's property rights include the right to humiliate me because of the color of my skin. The sanctity of private property takes second place, and this is going to be all of the arguments are actually about this. What takes precedence in our republic? Property rights or your right to not be offended? That's the argument here, really. They should take a second place to the sanctity of human personality. And so it was after the Civil Rights Act of 1964, property simply would not enjoy the same constitutional protection that it had before. Great stuff here. This is it's really amazing to try to get your mind around how much this Civil Rights Act of 64 has influenced and is the core and the source of so many of the things that problems and divisions and the loss of rights. There's winners and losers now. And of course, the big losers are male people who are of European descent. White males are the losers in all of this, and all of these special interest minority groups get special rights. But it's not justice. It's not, you know, if we look at the affirmative action case, here's the problem you get into with this. Rather than having a merit-based system where private entities and private companies and private businesses and private people are allowed to freely associate with whoever they want, what ends up happening is a hyper-regulation, unintended, and it moves into other things. This was never intended for gay people, for women people. It was a very specific thing. But what happens then is, like in the case of the affirmative action, Asians who are, this is what's so interesting about this, Asians who are also a minority group, a smaller minority group than black people. And what was happening was discrimination based on race, the thing that they're fighting for, it's hypocrisy through and through, denying Asians who have more merit for the name of diversity. And again, that is the hyper good of this movement, is which you're not allowed to discuss whether that is even good. But diversity is their goal, is their claim to moral goodness, and the high watermark of everything is diversity. Of course, we're not allowed to debate about this. We just make laws. Well, they don't even make laws. The other thing is a lot of this stuff isn't legislated anymore, and it's through court decisions that people are legislating law, because all of this circumvents and goes around the democratic process. This is what's funny about a lot of these leftists talk about having a democracy, yet when there is a democracy, they want to step in with legal action because people don't want what they want. I mean, the Equal Rights Amendment is an example of that never went through because people were realizing just how detrimental that would be to people's liberties. So where does this come from? It comes from natural law. And the freedom of association, which is in the First Amendment, the First Amendment, it is inferred, and it's not just inferred as in they just pull it out of the sky, that means not just groups of people, but individual people have a right to do business with, hang around with, marry, whatever the case may be. Freedom of association is a fundamental liberty. And our Constitution actually, our Constitution, not the Civil Rights of 64, not that legislation, but our Constitution actually protects our right, our freedoms, our liberties to associate with who we wish to and not associate with who we don't want to. There's another good one here. We're going to read this here because I thought this was a good little look into this, okay? Again, this is from The Age of Entitlement, America Since the 60s, Christopher Caldwell. Who is this speaking here? Ferris Bryant, Florida's segregationist governor. So he's a pro-segregationist guy back in the day. We would all agree that the traveler is and should be free not to buy. He can pass a motel because he doesn't like the town. He doesn't like the color, or he doesn't like the name. He can stop and go in, and when he sees the owner, he can decide he doesn't like him because he doesn't like his mustache or his accent or his prices or his race or his other customers. He can turn around and walk out for any reason, right? This is freedom and liberty. Or for no reason at all. Why not? He's a free man, right? No arguments there. Ah, but what about this? So is the property owner, right? And if the traveler is free not to buy because he doesn't like the owner's mustache, accent, prices, race, other customers, or for any other reason, the owner of the property ought to have the same freedoms. I mean, this is real basic stuff, man, right? That's simple justice. The wonder is that it can be questioned. I mean, this is really, really romper room shit here, man. It's really basic stuff. I can't believe it gets really, really screwy. Yeah, that's what freedom and liberty is all about. There's two businesses here in town that I know that fly the sign that says we reserve the right to refuse service to anybody. Lisa's Restaurant, the truck stop, and an auto shop here in town hangs those signs. Now, the government has been coming in and fucking with people and their rights. You know, you can't force people, man. Look, discrimination goes on all the time. As a matter of fact, the people who claim that it's wrong to be discriminatory are discriminating. It's really, really insane how basic this stuff is. So this is part of our heritage, part of natural law. You know, if the Hell's Angels, right, they start an association, they start a group, they don't have to let blacks in. And the blacks are free to go ahead and start the Latinos are free to start the Mongols, or the Black Sabbath Nation can go start a black motorcycle club, right? They're all free to do these things. That's what freedom and liberty is, and it's essential. And property rights, I don't think people really understand the importance of property rights. And if I don't have the right over my own property, then I don't have any rights. I just don't. And, you know, what are you going to force? You're going to force a Muslim to draw a cynical representation of the Prophet Muhammad? I mean, you know what I mean? You can't force people to do things because they're going to do them anyway. I mean, I'll give you an example. I've worked for I don't know how many landlords in my day. And there's two things that are pretty universal from all of the landlords I've ever known. There's a group of people that they like to rent to, and there's a group of people that they don't like to rent to. The people that they like to rent to is the landlords seem to like gay men a lot, right? Because they tend to be neat and pay their rent on time, and they don't tear the place up. The one group of people predominantly that they didn't want to rent to is black people, because black people, not all of them, but there's a tendency that they tear shit up pretty bad as a cultural phenomenon. So as a landlord, if you can think about this, you worked your ass off and you bought a rental property. You know, you're not a big landlord. You actually have a job, and it's just a little side thing that you have going on, like Miss Murphy here, right? She wants to rent out a room or something like that. That's her property, man. And to force somebody to have to do something like that is just obscene. Why should a landlord have to rent to people that he knows is going to tear up his property? It doesn't make any sense. I'll give you another example. When I was I became a foreman for a roofing company down in New Orleans when we were putting the new slate roof onto the St. Louis Cathedral down there in Jackson Square. And one of the first things, Troy was the guy's name, and he gave me hiring and firing ability. And so the first thing I did the first morning is I fired everybody, except for the one Mexican guy, because all the rest of them were illegal Mexicans. And the one guy was legal, and this is how they do it. Troy was paying him, and then he was dispersing the money to all the illegals. So I fired those guys immediately. And I said, anybody ain't got their paperwork, got to go. So I called Troy, and I said, hey, Troy, we got to put an ad in the paper. He's like, what's up? I said, oh, man, I fired the whole crew. except for, Miguel or whatever his name was. He's like, what'd you do that for? I said, dude, they're all illegal aliens. I said, let's hire people that are legal to work. So he put an ad in the, long story short, he puts an ad in the paper. And one of the things we had to start doing is not hiring people from the New Orleans area, because there was an obvious difference between their work ethic and those from the north, like people from Michigan and stuff like that. So what we would end up doing, you know, we put the ad in the paper, and so someone would call up and say, oh yeah, I'm calling about the roofing job, and we're like, oh yeah, where are you from? I'm from Slidell. Well, we don't have anything right now, but we'll take your name and number, and right. And then someone's my name's Jim, I'm from Naperville, up by Chicago, or I'm from Detroit, or something like that, right? Oh yeah, what time can you show up tomorrow? Now the reason, now, is this fair to everybody? No, because probably what's happening is some of those people from New Orleans who called didn't match the general stereotype, and they were actually good workers, right? So they are actually suffering the price of the punishment for the other people's kind of laziness and not moving real quick, part of Southern culture. See, all of this will get your channel deleted, but it's the real world. It's really how it works, right? So as someone who's trying to, we're trying to get a job done, right? The goal of this is a business. You've been contracted by the Archdiocese or whoever the hell it is to put a new roof on the St. Louis Cathedral. That's our job. We're not worried about diversity. We're not worried about, that's the job. That's the goal. That's what we got a contract to do. So we want to do that as fast, as efficiently, and as quality as possible. So you don't want a bunch of people that don't pound nails in all the way, right? You want to start getting, you know, that don't show up on time, that move real slow, right? You're trying to get something done. So you noticed that, this particular group of people is having a large percentage of them not work out real well. So you stereotype, right? But stereotypes, there's actually legitimacy to them. So, you know, but that's how the real world works, and it's not about diversity. Again, and then, you know, I understand. Denny's, for example, we went to Denny's, and I was just, I remember back in the 90s, Denny's was refusing service to black people. They got in trouble for it. I don't think they should have. It's a right not to do that. And as recently as 2020, I guess, there were some restaurants that were forcing black people to pay before they ate, okay? So let's take a look at this. So why did they do that? Well, because there's a high ratio of black people that are skipping, doing dine and dashes, obviously. I mean, they commit a lot of crime, okay? We'll probably have to pull this off of here. But anyway, so they did that. Now, let's say there's lots of black people that don't do that, that are straight up, honest, good, hardworking people that are going to pay their bill. Unfortunately, they're catching some of the fallout from a lot of the blacks that ain't like them and do dine and dash, right? So that, yeah, I'm not arguing with you that that's kind of unfortunate for them. But the right of the business owner takes precedence over their feelings or inconvenience or whatever. Now, here's what happens. Now that everybody's open about that, then these people can decide, hey, even though we pay our bill, we're not gonna do business here, right? That's how it works. As a matter of fact, we're going to open up our own restaurants. And that's how, you know, smoking. Let's look at cigarettes. Again, big violation for the federal government to come in and demand that bars and restaurants can't have smoking. That's up to the business owner and the patrons to work that out. That's how this place works. That's how we got to where we're at. We wouldn't have the cell phone that we're using if we went off of some other system like these people want. So, you know, I don't know, man. It's really wild, and I'm for freedom. That's what I'm for, and I'm for property rights. And I don't like people being misused or anything like that. But I understand where a lot of these things come from. And property rights in the old Constitution that this republic in our Greco-Roman tradition, it's not Judeo-Christian. Matter of fact, Judeo-Christian would support, screw the guy with the property rights, right? Christian values and this communist woke shit are on the same page as far as this kind of stuff goes. You know, let me get my glasses so I can see what some of you guys are saying here. What do you guys think about that? Is there any, again, Super Chat is open if you wish to kick in a dollar or two for coffee to help my work. From experience, they don't like to pay rent either. No, and here's another thing. Right, exactly. And here's, you know, the welfare state isn't just, and it's not just black people, there's lots of poor white people too. But one of the things that the landlords love is Section 8 and, you know, all of the subsidized housing, because it's guaranteed money for them. I also noticed that. They don't have to worry about it, the checks. Sean Hannity is actually a welfare recipient. Because of all his slumlord Section 8 housing, he gets a big old fat government check. No room for slather asses. Yeah, no, you got to get the work done, man. You know what I'm saying? Can't make this shit up, man. No, I'm telling you real stuff, man. Quit those nasty things. What's that, the cigs? I don't smoke. Haven't smoked in a long time. Yeah, Section 8 artificially drives rent up, too. So there's all kinds of problems. Here's where we're at today. Everybody's walking on eggshells, right? Everybody's walking on eggshells worrying about a Fengi and getting sued by somebody. How is that liberty? How is that freedom? You know, it's not. And the reason we're here is because it'd be interesting. I wonder if this could be brought before the Supreme Court and get that civil rights, you know, it's hard to go backwards, man, once the toothpaste is out of the tube. But it's really amazing to get your mind around that where the source of so many of our problems come from the 1964 civil rights legislation, which it was never intended to do. It wasn't for that. And look what happened. It's great. Up here in St. Lawrence County, New York, white folks are the scumbags. Not many blacks around here. Right, there's plenty of poor white people, too. But again, when you take if you take neighborhoods all economics the same, whether the Latino, Asian, white, black, so all the economic factors, which they did in the revised edition of the Color of Crime report, what you find is that blacks still commit way more crime. You know, so it's not poverty is not yes, of course. Poverty does lend to that, but that's not what's going on here, because when you equalize everything out, there's still a problem. But yeah, you know, the affirmative actions in the schools, look what is happening. And we did a little podcast about this. The Asian kids were being unjustly, really? So these Asian kids who worked really, really hard and scored better have to take a back seat because of diversity? And you're going to call that justice? I don't know, man. St. Lawrence County is the poorest county here in my... Oh, okay, and the biggest land-wise. Okay. Yeah, there's plenty. The same thing in Chicago. You know, there isn't any ghetto white neighborhoods in Chicago, but if you start getting out around the suburbs, there's poor white neighborhoods. Plenty. So the other thing that Caldwell is highlighting in this great book is the winners and the losers in this. And the winners are all of these special interest minority groups, because they get special rights. And white males, property owners, the things like that, they're screwed. And that is just not what our country is about. It's just not. Our country has gone to the shit. Oh, dude, it's gone, dude. It's gone. I mean... Then there's the bureaucracies, right, that have been created around this whole entire thing is a whole another aspect to it. But it's really amazing how that Civil Rights Act of 1964 actually created a second constitution that runs in opposition and in friction with our actual Constitution. And people warned about this, and other people thought it was ridiculous because the act was supposed to be, you know, for very limited thing, and that's not what happened, unfortunately. So, you know, that's my position on it. What do you think? What do you think? I am pro-discrimination as our original Constitution. It's not about being mean necessarily, wanting to hurt people. That's not the whole point of discrimination. You just, the point of this whole thing is you discriminate all the time. You're discriminating all the time. If you're here listening to me, you're not listening to somebody else. You discriminated, you know? How bittersweet is it watching the same shit happen in Europe and France? We're actually going to talk about France later this week. It's something that I followed for a long time. As a matter of fact, I wrote an essay about 20 years ago, probably more than 20 years ago, about the issues in France, the same thing that's happening here, right? The diversity deal. And they've let all of these African and North African and Muslim people into their country who have not assimilated, have no desire to live under the French societal laws, and they've actually set up little mini countries inside of France. And things are getting real tense, and they're kind of saying they're modeling after the Black Lives Matter. France is literally on the brink of a civil war over there. It's insane. But we'll talk a little bit about that this week as well, I think. Too many migrants, right? You can't have that. Sounds like Poland is one of the few countries who are trying to support their own people. Yes, you're absolutely correct, Slackjaw. Poland, actually, my wife's from Warsaw. I got an import. Poland has been resisting all this, and rightfully so. You know, I don't know what to do about any of this. The scariest thing to me is that you cannot have an honest, rational conversation with people about this. You get called names. You get, you know, people just don't want to hear it. But it's not just. It's just another form of discrimination. And property rights must take precedence over people's feelings. You don't have a right under the Constitution to not be discriminated against. And in fact, the Constitution and natural law protects your right to discriminate. And that's what they just did in these cases. There was another one with a lady baking a cake. You can't force people to do shit, man, if they don't want to do business with you. It's not right. Just like you shouldn't, would you want to force people that you have to go do business here? Well, no. Well, why would you do it the other way? It'd be interesting to see somebody try to pose a counter-argument here. Not in today's USA, otherwise we pay property tax. Well, we all pay taxes, man. Lots and lots of taxes to fund this entire bureaucracy that comes along with this. And it's not justice at all. It creates hostility. It's amazing what the fruits, regardless of what the intention of these seeds are, the fruits that this thing produces are hatred, division, animosity, injustice, no matter how well-intentioned it may be. That is what has happened, and that is what we are suffering. So I highly recommend The Age of Entitlement. America Since the 60s, Christopher Caldwell. Really good book, really interesting perspective. Of course, there's always other aspects of things that are going on, but this is really, you know, all of this about weaponizing, the government's always been weaponized. I mean, was it Johnson and what's his name? Hoover? Or not Hoover. J. Edgar Hoover. Weren't they like spying on Martin Luther King and recording them having sex with prostitutes? And I mean, there's been all kinds of weaponizing. I'm not saying it's just, but a lot of people are using that weaponization of stuff to justify Trump's crimes, but they do. Why pay property tax? Because they'll take your property. But they have weaponized the IRS. It's all about entitlements. Everybody's entitled. right? The number of people on disability. And they'll all tell you they're entitled and deserve it. Here in New Mexico, I don't know too many people that aren't on some sort of disability. It's really kind of disgusting, you know? It's really sad. But that's, everybody's entitled to have society bend to their wishes and their wills today. Well, that's not going to play out well. The ending of that story isn't good, as Leo Strauss noted there. It's the end of liberal society. It's over with. We do not have the rights and we don't have freedoms. We have micromanagement and a violation of natural law. And that is what we have today. But I thought it was really, really interesting that, and like I said, I've been really meditating on it about, wow, what an impact that legislation had. And it was not its intentions. But the road to hell is paved with lots of good intentions, huh? Okay, we're also going to be, yesterday was the anniversary of Jerry Garcia's last show back in 1995, I believe it was. And I've had several people ask me of possibly doing a podcast on the cultural significance of the Grateful Dead. And I think I might actually do that. I actually spent some time following the Grateful Dead. But there's a lot of things that we could speak about that as well. What other things were people wanting to talk about? We're going to keep up with the Trump trials, you know, but it's kind of a lull right now because could they have resolved it in another way? Absolutely. It was resolving itself, actually. The way to resolve those things is through social pressure and cultural unacceptance of that. And like I said, when they look at the polling data of the time, most Americans weren't cool with that, with the segregation going on in the South. Now, again, democracy, those people voted that stuff in there. That was their democracy. They voted to have that. And if you didn't like it as a black person, one of the great other things, speaking of the Grateful Dead and traveling, is voting with your feet. That was one of the great things about all the different states. You don't like it here, go there. I was around, you know, if your license was suspended in Illinois, you could go to Missouri and start over. It was great. Wow, I can start over. You can't do that stuff anymore. But yeah, it could have been resolved in another way, or not resolved. My whole point with this is thank you so much, Rick. Appreciate it. Again, Super Chat is open if you wish to kick in a buck or two to support my efforts. But what was we talking about? Roe, Jimmy Roe. Yeah, it would have probably worked itself out, and even if it didn't work itself out, again, they have the right to do that. It's as business owners, we don't have to do... Here's discrimination that goes on right now. TAs, Truck Stop America, all the way across America, if you're a traveler, one of those the hobo travelers, you are not allowed on their property. I'm telling you. Traveling hobos that you see traveling around nationwide are not allowed on TA's property. Why? Because they steal stuff out of there. They dirty up the bathrooms. They hassle and they're shaking down the other customers for money. They're setting up camps, right? Well, that company has every fucking right to not let that group of people not on their fucking property. Right? Today, right now, there's an example of discrimination that TAs will not let those people on their property coast to coast. And I support their right to not let those people on their property. They are a business. And if they didn't want bald-headed dudes with gray t-shirts, it is their right. And then I can go to Phillips 66, or I can go to, what's the other one? There's all kinds of them. That's how we vote. But we don't live there anymore. Well, no, you're not a dollar short anymore, Rick. Ah! The migrant workers, yeah. Well, we used to have migrant workers that were temporary. That's not what these people are. These people are just like what's going on in France. Look, man, most of these South American Mexicans don't like white people, man. I don't know where you guys are at. I guess you all work in offices somewhere. Get out and pick some peaches. Or go hang some drywall or do some roofing with the Mexicans and see what they think of you. They have no desire to assimilate here whatsoever. They're here just like for France. They're here for the welfare state. They're here for the free goodies. They're also here for revenge, right? Because they think white people are the great oppressors and that we stole their land, right? And they're going to take it back. That's where they're coming from. Now, the funny thing about this is what's so funny is these white liberals are so naive because they live in little sheltered bubbles, right? These same people are going to come and rape and kill them. And they're going to be like, hey, brother. Brother, I fought for your rights, brother. And that's what's going to happen. Nobody likes white people. I like white people. I sure do. Very much so, unapologetically. Pretty good group of people. All the great things that we've brought into this world. Look at the inventions that the Europeans have. It's incredible. From liberal democracy to the phones that we're using right now. Nobody holds a candle, man. So they're actually kind of jealous, is what I think. That's why they have all this animosity. But this type of stuff, affirmative action and forcing businesses to do business, denying them their freedom of association, does not make things happier, wealthier, and wiser. It makes things more divided, more impoverished, and that's just diversity is a myth. And that, you know, the reason you can't talk about that or debate that is because someone like me, I have the whole well of reality to draw upon, and they don't. And that's why you won't see arguments about that. Diversity is the idea that the less we have in common, the more we get along. If you can imagine that. So check out The Age of Entitlement, America Since the 60s, Christopher Caldwell. Really good book, thought-provoking and something that we could put into our little deal. Again, ChuckJines.com, the members area over there. $9.99 for the entire year. As a matter of fact, I'm recording this there and on my phone, and I will upload this. I'm actually probably going to be ending the members area over here on the web, over here on YouTube. I'm actually wanting to invest in my website. Because at some point they're going to throw me, this is not my real estate. There you go. I support YouTube's right to discriminate against speech. They do it all the time. They're a private business. I'm here at their leisure. Right? I don't like it. But here, the social champions of non-discrimination have a huge policy of discrimination. They discriminate against people like me who want to have a particular view. And I support their right to discriminate against me because they are a private company. I go off the old Constitution. Anyway, I'm wanting to invest in the website. I've had it for 10 years. A couple things that you should probably do over there. One, if you value independent journalism and the new media, it's $9.99 for the entire year to have access to the archives and exclusive content. The other thing, two things to do over there. One is an email subscription. It says subscribe to blog via email. What that does is anytime I post something on my website, you are notified that I posted something. The other thing there is a newsletter. The newsletter isn't really a newsletter. What that is that if you wish to stay in touch with me and one morning you wake up and I've been zapped and I can let people know that. I don't really use it as I've never sent a newsletter. I keep those emails and I download them just in case they ever disappear or anything like that. So if you don't become a member, at least go over there and sign up for those things. Share my videos, share my podcasts. There's a lot of different stuff over on ChuckGines.com. A lot of my essays, all of my artistic, my poetry, my writings, my photography, my independent photojournalism, all of that stuff is ChuckGines.com. Do consider becoming a member over there for $9.99 a year. That's my bread and butter. It's not off the Google clicks and things like that over here. And again, I look at some point to get tossed off of there. That's why I hope I'm not too popular, because as soon as you start getting popular, then they delete you. So hopefully I stay a minor figure. All right, everybody, look for those other topics this week. Leave comments in the comment section. Let me know what you guys would like to discuss as far as topics go. It'll be a shame if you disappear from YouTube. Oh, dude, it's inevitable. But it's their right, bro. I support their right to discriminate against me. That's I am so much in favor of discrimination, the freedom of association to discriminate, that I support YouTube's right to discriminate against me. Because I don't want to be talking out of both sides of my mouth and full of hypocrisy. All right, everybody, have a good day. Get her done. I'm out of here. See you guys next time.